Greetings, friends. Welcome back to the broadcast. I'm Sean. Website can be found at scriptureandprophecy.com. That's where you go to find the archives, and that's where you go to support this mission of truth. Well, we're continuing our series, Faith and Works. And now we are starting the second epistle of Peter, which is three short chapters, but I wanted to just take one chapter at a time. So this will be the focus for the next 3 weeks of this series. Now, I just want to bring to memory just some phrases that you've heard me use over and over and over, and to the point where you're probably annoyed hearing them. But I just think it's important, especially for the modern day believer, to start getting these things in their head. The thing you've heard me say the most is actions matter, because actions demonstrate what I truly believe. It's one thing to say I'm a believer, I follow Jesus, but your actions, the fruit of your life, will actually flush that out, will actually prove that truth. That's one of James's primary messages when we went through the book of James. I'll show you my faith by what I do. The scriptures talk about you deceive yourself. You say you love God, but then you live like the rest of the world. You deceive yourself. In this very short chapter here, Peter's going to kind of say it in just in a different way, but he's like talking about confirming your election, confirming your faith, and behavior is part of that recipe. And then it ends with just a little bit of word about the hope and prophecy and scripture. Many headlines will say Christ, glory, and prophetic word if you have a King James Bible for the last 10 verses or so. So this morning's broadcast will not take us long to get through. But we need to really internalize these things and really let the Word of God be transformative. So many people, they want the salvation that comes with knowing Christ, but not the transformation. And at the same time, sometimes we can also be foolish and blind and forget on some level that Christ freed us from the bondage of sin, and like a dog returning to its vomit, we go back to some of our old ways. Peter will also address that. So open up your hearts. Let's see what the Word of God has to say to us this morning. 21 short verses, King James Bible. Let's begin. 2 Peter. Verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them who have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Please note, Peter is saying, everything that you need that pertains to living out a godly life, you have received through your knowledge of Jesus. Everything that you need to practice a godly life has been given to you. You have God's Word. You have the Spirit of God. Let's continue. He's going to continue this thought. Whereby are given unto us exceeding and great and precious promise, that by these ye might be partakers of divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So please note, what does he say? He says you've been given everything that you need to practice a godly life. And you need to give diligence to this thing. You need to give diligence and add these virtues to your faith. Don't just stop at, I believe. There's a practice in Christian faith. He says, be diligent, give diligence to this, meaning make it a priority. Add to your faith virtue, and then add to your virtue knowledge. Add to knowledge temperance. Add to temperance patience. Add to patience godliness. And in brotherly kindness and charity. For if these things be in you, what things? The things he just mentioned. Virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness. If these things be in you and abound, they make you that you should neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of your Lord Jesus Christ. So if these things be in you, there'll be fruit. You will produce fruit for the kingdom of God, for your Lord. There'll be some transformation that's taking place in your life. You're not just going to believe and then go right back into the world and act like you always have. You'll be starting, there's a sanctification process. You're going to start to be transformed. I'm not who I want to be, but I'm not who I used to be. Right? You're being made like Christ. F.B. Meyer says this, short little commentary here. Notice that God has given us every provision for a godly life through the knowledge of Jesus, but that we must avail ourselves of it. The promises are great and precious, but we must appropriate and absorb them. If we are through them to partake of the divine nature. Our redemption has been secured by our Savior, but we must constantly advance and add to the golden links already securely stapled in faith. You don't save yourself, right? This is why we need Jesus. We need the Savior. But then with that salvation, with that free gift of salvation that can't be earned and there's no merit for it, with the free gift of salvation comes a responsibility to live out that faith. And living out that faith involves discipline and Christian practices and action and producing fruit and so on and so on. Peter's addressing people just like the people of his day needed this message, just like the people of our day need this message. Hey, you actually need to pursue these things with diligence, and you need to be adding things to your faith. Knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, charity. Let's continue on, because he's got a short little comment here. The very next verse. So He says, and knowledge temperance, and temperance patience, and patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged of his old sins. He has forgotten that he was purged of his old sins. So if you lack these things that he mentions in your life, in your behavior, in your walk, in your faith, you're like blind, which was a word that Jesus used a lot for religious leaders who didn't actually practice what they preached. Blind, it's used in the book of Revelation. If you don't practice these things, you're blind. Just a few actual verses. Gospel of John. Jesus is talking to the religious leaders, the Pharisees. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, are we blind also? And Jesus said, if you were blind, you should have no sin. But now that you say we see, therefore your sin remains. Paul says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which would believe not. Jesus, when he's addressing the church, so these aren't non-believers. If you go to Revelation chapter 3, they think that they're rich. They think that because they've increased in goods, that they think they have knowledge. They think they have all these things. But Jesus says, you're actually wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Paul's saying, if you lack these things, you're blind and you have forgotten that you were purged from your old sins. This is an issue with so many Christians. They keep returning to their sin, or they never left it, or they think that they've got the fire insurance because they said the sinner's prayer at the altar, at church, and they don't think that there's an altar. They don't think that there's a transformation in behavior and in practice. They're blind. They can't see the truth. They've somehow forgotten that they were purged of those old sins when they came to faith. Verse 10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fail. For so entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into everlasting kingdom of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that I shortly must put off this tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. So Peter's like, as long as I'm in this body, I'm going to keep reminding you of these basic truths. I'm going to keep bringing these things to remembrance because it's important for you to remember that you were saved, that you were separated from sin, that there was a price paid for your life. And as a result, you ought to be living this out. And he's like, as long as I'm in this body, this tabernacle, I'm going to do this. And I know that soon enough, I'm going to have to put this off, this tabernacle off, just like our Lord. Verse 15. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables, when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus, but we are eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him from excellent glory, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So Peter's saying, look, this isn't some fable, some made-up fairy tale. We were there. We heard the voice of God saying, this is my son, who I am well pleased. Peter was one of three who got to see the transfiguration on the mountain. They saw the risen Christ. He's saying, this is not some made-up stuff. I'm getting ready to lose my life for it. Verse 17, for he received from God, Father, and glory, and when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Five more verses. And this voice, which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That's where we're going to stop today. I know, very short, but I want to give each chapter their due diligence. As far as verse 20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, John Wesley says, you do well as knowing this, that no Scripture prophecy is of private interpretation. It is not any man's own word. It is God, not the prophet himself, who thereby interprets things till then unknown. I don't know if you remember, but I'd say in 2014-ish, 2015-ish, there was a lot of people claiming to be prophets and making YouTube videos, right? And they led a lot of people astray with their silliness, making claims, you know, every Tuesday they have a new prophecy to give, or, you know, or whatever day of the week it was. That's not how it works. Godly men are moved by the Holy Ghost. And if you go to the prophets of old, they weren't just making up stuff. They were hearing directly from God and then relaying it to the people. We have to be careful about those who claim to have prophecy in our day, because there's so many who think that it's just, I'm sure they honestly believe they're hearing from God. But most of them have proven to be false, right? They say one thing and another thing happens. All right, I think that's all I have for you this morning. Just want you to really absorb the fact that you've been saved, that the Son of God bled and died for you, and God rose him again on the third day, and that you have a promise of resurrection. You have a promise of eternity with the Lord. And in light of all of that, how should you live? Take inventory of your life. Examine yourself, as the scriptures say. Make sure you're in the faith. Peter says here, do diligence and confirm your election. He says, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. That's all I have for you this morning. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your prayers. I need them. Peace and grace be with all of you. And until next time, God bless.